Beautiful, beautiful.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new season, Body. It's back, sort of. Hello to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottend. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm very good, and I'm happy that you're home safe and sound and in one piece from jet setting all around the world. You know, I'm seeing stuff from London, seeing stuff from Jerusalem. God almighty, you had one hell of a holiday.
I finished up in Mykonos, and it was an absolute fabulous time. Westpac, my bank managers, rung me and said, "What the hell have you done? You've put an extra 10 years on the loan, but that's fine." had a fantastic time. Really enjoyed getting away. The weather was stunning, and just to get out of the cold and rainy of Sydney, to be honest, was outstanding. But let's not talk about anything else, but we have some fantastic news. The Opals, Body, talk to me. The Opals. Well, look,
honestly, the moment, let's talk about Lauren Jackson, because that's who we want to talk about, because she is a phenomenon. And the moment she started to run around for Albury in NBL One competition at the start of the year, you knew it was coming, because you could see the smile on her face. She's loving basketball again. She's healthy. She's her body's back right, and she's able to give to the sport what she wasn't able to at the finish. And she, you know, her career ended on a bad note for her in terms of chronic injuries stop your career. That's not the note you want to go out on. So to have this opportunity several years later, people have almost ruled out the possibility of ever seeing her play again, and having her getting those 32 points, 16 rebound games in the NBL One, you thought, oh, gee, she's going to have to be in consideration for Opals. And then once she's in that squad, she's in that group, you know, she just brings so much. She might have lost a bit.
She doesn't look like it, but do yourself a favor. Yeah. Get onto Insta, I think it is, and Sandy Brondello, there's a little video out of her telling Lauren, you've made the team. Now, we are talking, and and can I just sidetrack here? Absolutely loving your book about Patty Mills. I'll come back to that. But the reason I'm mentioning that is in that book, you mention about Lauren being the GOAT. And there's no question. So here is a lady that is the GOAT, that has literally done everything that you can think of, literally in tears getting told you've made a World Cup team. Does that just tell you what Lauren is?
Yeah, it tells you everything you need to know about her, and sends shivers down the spine when you watch it. So you're right. It's not just on Insta, Brad. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Twitter. It's around. People should see it, because it'll give you a greater appreciation for the greatest player that this country has ever produced in basketball. For her at 41, when she's told the news, you are in the Opals team, not the squad anymore. You're in the team. You're playing in a World Cup next month in Sydney, and her reaction, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about it. I'm going to go through the team. Okay. Of course, we've got Lauren, but let's go through the rest of it. We've got Beck Allen, Tess Madgen, Sarah Blikarz, Blitzars. We had her on the show, didn't we, one time?
We've had her on the show.
Annalie Maley, Darcy Garbin, Steph Talbot, Kayla George, Mariana Tolo, obviously Lauren, Kirsty Wallace, Ezzy Magbador, and Sammy Whitcomb. Great team. I'm very happy with that team. But your thoughts, because the big out for me is Alana Smith. That is a big out. But you can ask yourself, well, who should she replace and everything like that. But talk to me. What do you think of the team?
I think it's a fabulous team. I think it's a team that can restore the Opals to their reputation and their standing in international basketball. But, I mean, we'll talk about their group in a minute, because their group is freaking tough as.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to do the soccer group of death.
I read your book.
But this isn't a group of death. This is a group of a severe backache, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty tough. It'll be hard for them. But
well, quickly, just so we know, era. France, Serbia, Japan, I think it's Mali and Canada, isn't it? Anyway, keep going with the team. Yep.
Just quickly, Canada's ranked four in the world. We're three. We're ranked three. I'm not sure that's a fair indication at the moment. But anyway, Canada's
not after the Olympics.
France is sixth. Japan is eight. And Japan has consistently for the past 4 or 5 years.
Got better.
yeah, beaten us. They've had our number, you know. Then you've got Serbia at 10. So though any one of those, any couple of those could be a real problem. Mali at 30, ranked 37th in the world. They're the team that we should, you know, you can pencil that one in.
Yeah.
But geez, it's not an easy group. So this is a very good team. I've heard a few people say it might be a little top heavy. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think it's good to have Mariana Tolo back. She was a star of the team when they won the bronze in 2014, mm-hmm. when Liz Cambage was a late withdrawal with injury. Mm-hmm. She lifted and she played very well, Mariana Tolo. She's great for that role. You've got Kayla George, mm-hmm. who's bringing experience, and you know, she's been through a number of these campaigns, including the silver medal campaign of 2018. So Lauren coming back at 6'5", another big.
Don't forget, and Ezzy is just getting better.
Yeah. Ezzy. And now you look at, okay, Sarah Blitzarves. Yep, she had a great form in those. They pulled her into Tokyo to replace Liz Cambage, and I think her personality helped that team because she's just a bubbly sort of great human being. Mm-hmm. Not to say that her basketball talent is far above that, but she's a good person to have around. Darcy Garvin, there's the one. That's the one among the bigs. That's if you're going to say what happened to Alana Smith, Darcy Garvin happened to Alana Smith that is probably the one where you go, okay, that may have been where you expected to see Alana, but Darcy's there.
Let me ask you this then. Do we have enough scoring punch outside in this team?
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, if Beck Allen's run properly, she's a great shooter. You got Sammy Whitcomb. She's a great shooter. No, I think we've got more than enough talent outside and inside, inside presence. Plus, just a presence of Lauren Jackson. You know, like I read a thing by Steve.
On and off the court too.
I read a thing by Steve Kerr the other day saying that when you talk about Michael Jordan, what people don't actually factor in his greatness is just how much his presence on the court intimidated the hell out of the opposition.
I remember reading Luke Longley saying something like that, where, you know, they'd walk into a gym and him as being part of that aura just knew we can't lose this game.
Right.
But we're now, just not going to lose this game.
Lauren Jackson has the same aura. Now, it doesn't matter whether she's 21, 31 or 41. She still has that same aura. And the fact that she's made this team says she's there on merit. She's not there on anything else. She's not there on reputation. So, you know,
I think a really good point that you made, and this is what I love, you know, we always talk about cultures and especially boomers and everything like that. That culture has been a key. I completely agree with you. You used the word restored. And I think that's what this does. You could just see what it meant to Lauren. That is just going to feed and run right through the veins of every one of these players. And you can just see this is going to restore the pride, the culture, the everything. And I'm sure there is no doubt for all of these girls, they would have watched the boomers and gone, hang on, you know, we were the ones. We were the ones winning everything. What has gone on? Let's get back and restore that.
Not only that, Brad, but there'll be several players on this team that would have grown up watching Lauren.
Yeah.
Thinking, wow, you know, how good is she? I'd love the opportunity to meet her, let alone play with her.
Now they're a teammate.
So I like that. There's plenty of excitement about this particular group. Now, don't forget, we've got Steph Talbot, who's the WNBL MVP of 2 years ago. We've got Annalee Maley, who's last year's MVP.
Yeah, she really impressed me, Annalee. You know, I just love her hustle. You know, even when she came back, where was she? She came in that series recently in Australia, you know.
She played against Japan.
I just think she has a presence. I don't know how much she'll play. Like, there's a lot of talent around her. But I think it's a good in. I think it's a good in.
And then that game against Japan was fantastic. She subbed in at a free throw, right? So she's in the offensive rebound position at the free throw. And she's renowned as an offensive rebounder. That's her strength and her scoring. So she's come on. The free throw's missed. She gets the rebound, pump fake, one bounce, boom, score. She's on the court like 3 seconds and she's done the trademark already internationally. And that sort of really impressed me. So,
well, I'm really looking forward to the series. I think it'll be great. Do you think we can top that pool, or is that a lot to ask?
I think we can, because you're in front of your home audience and you've just you can't wait to get out there now. You really can't wait to get on that floor and start the restoration process. You know, and like, you got kids like Christy Wallace, who's been playing some unbelievable basketball as a point guard, Sammy Whitcomb, you know, don't have to say much about Sammy. She's been captain of the Opals in the past, so
yes, yeah,
you know that. And Tess Madgen. So there's that group that can handle the ball. You know,
I want to take you back. What are we? A year, 2 years, or no, two, 1 year. And you know, the Opals finished their campaign, and you've got Sandy Brondello sitting in her hotel room afterwards, thinking, right, we've got the World Cup in a year's time. Number one, she's probably thinking, geez, I hope I have my job after what happened at the Olympics. But number yes. two, does she sit down and think, right, we've got to change our whole culture and Lauren's part of this? Do you think, you know, what do you think
I don't think Lauren was any part of speculation right. at the end of the Olympics, because she hadn't yet committed back to playing. So she started playing this year for Albury, and it's all like, oh, Lauren's back. Oh, isn't that lovely? That's fantastic. That's sort of how it starts. And then you go, yeah, Lauren's not only back, she's absolutely kicking butt left, right, and straight, albeit it's an NBL one competition and not one of the stronger ones. But nonetheless, she's still getting it done.
You've got to put it up. Absolutely.
That's right. So you've got to go, okay. You know, so Lauren would have come into calculations later, but I think after the Olympics, there would have been a great deal of soul searching, because I think the kerfuffle with Liz Cambidge that happened prior to the Olympics did an awful lot to batter the bejesus out of that culture.
Yeah.
And I think it fractured the team. And it just, yeah, I think that was where she had to sit down and go, how do we get back to what the Opals have been since Tom Maher in 1994?
Yeah.
Last time the World Championship was in Australia.
Yeah.
Got them to a medal game. Got them to the bronze medal game against USA, as it turned out.
I remember in 96, I think if I'm not mistaken, the Opals got bronze, and I was playing for the Kings in 96, and the Flames had a lot of players. Robin Maher, Michelle Timms, all these. And they came back with that medal. And I remember they walked into the gym and they had the medal round their necks, and it was just like all the Kings players, we were just like pumped, you know, screaming and yelling for them. And, you know, it was just such a pride and so much fun. So hopefully they can get back to that. I think it's a tough one ahead. Yeah, it was. That, and then, you know, absolutely. It's been
And then good. the trajectory was pretty much upwards. You know, the graph just went upwards from their silver in Sydney, and then the gold medal at the 2006 World Cup, you know. But subsequently, I think we've kind of, there's some people have gone out of the program. Lauren Jackson had gone out of the program. Susie Batkovic, Belinda Snell. You start, you know, Penny Taylor. You start looking, Aaron Phillips. You know, there's a lot of great names that are now gone. And well, with one exception, she's back and we're happy about it. But,
yeah.
But you know, we had to sort of see it coming, and we didn't. And I think Liz Cambidge's issues within the team and just generally were a constant distraction.
Look, I've got to also mention, could you imagine if Liz was playing in this? Like, what a team we could have. I think it's a shame, is what I'm saying. Like, forget what's gone on off the court and all of that. I know she can't be in this team for everything that's been done and said. I get that, right?
Never again.
But it's just a shame. Do you know what I mean? Because it's, what an opportunity.
Yeah, but you see, that's the interesting thing, is that when this team was belonged to Lauren, so let's go back to the London Olympics when she's the flag bearer and she's the captain of the entire
2012,
Australian Olympic team, right. Liz Cambidge is in that team, but Susie Batkovic is in that team, Lauren's in that team. That's the Olympics where Liz drives from the elbow and throws down a dunk against Russia, the first and only dunk in women's basketball Olympic history. And the people jumping off the bench are people, you know, Lauren and Susie. And those are the female equivalent of the alpha male.
Yeah.
And so you don't mess up when they're in the team. So at that time, I think we were seeing the best of Liz, because she was within that framework of, yeah, I understand what I have to do here, because I don't want to ruffle the feathers of these superstars, because when they're out here giving their best, I have to give my best. Once they disappeared and she became like number one, I think her attitude and approach to it changed dramatically.
I think it's a shame. See that she's parted ways with Las Vegas now as well. So
Los Angeles.
Yeah. So I just want to stay with the groups here. So obviously we mentioned we're in Group B, that is, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The other group is Belgium, China, Puerto Rico, Korea, USA, and
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yes. So obviously for us now, we just don't want to finish fourth. as we always, because you know the US are going to win that pool, and then we don't want to have to cross over and have to play them. So who do you see? Obviously,
we've got to get US, Serbia. We've obviously got to get Mali. We've got to get Serbia. We've got to finish in the top four of the six. So that requires you to beat one team, two teams takes you into the four. Three teams takes you a little bit higher. So you'd have to have Mali. That we've got to get them. And then Serbia's next, got to get them. And then you've got to get one, at least one of France, Japan, and Canada.
Yeah, we've that's just, the key.
We've just played Canada. I don't know who they had playing. In a couple of practice games, they may not have had their full contingent. But, Japan worries me because they just seem to have our number. The positive in our favour is that the coach of the Japanese team has now switched over to coaching the men's team.
Yes.
So perhaps they go through a little bit of a phase where they're not quite as outstanding as they have been. They're not quite as confident about beating us as they have been. So, yeah, we've got to get one of those other teams. So I think we're quite capable of that. Just quickly though, Brad, before I want to talk about the three that missed out. The three because the squad of 15 in New York included Matty Rocci, Alana Smith, and Jade Melbourne. Now, Matty was on a hide into nothing because Christy Wallace is doing so well at point guard. You got Sammy can pinch hit at point. You got Tess Madgen can play at the point. So she was going to have to do something really special to make it. So not the biggest of surprises that she didn't make it. Alana Smith, again, you know, we discussed that earlier. I think obviously Darcy Garbin, Sarah Blitzer, Lauren Jackson, there's a lot of players in the same sort of category as her. I feel sorry for her because when she first came into this team, it was the same time as Ezzy Magbegor, and it was like toss a coin. You couldn't really split them. They were both outstanding.
Yeah. Look, I'm a massive fan of Alana, and it also goes back. I played with Darren, know them personally, so I don't, but I think it is a shame. Yeah, but I get it. It's sort of one of those things like, well, who?
Yeah. Well, and you didn't see, we don't see the camps. We don't see what's
going
on down.
Yeah. So, and, you know, look, Sandy has gone a different way. Only time will tell if that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the way she was handled in Tokyo indicated that
was limited.
There was something that they didn't like about her at that particular moment. And then the third one, Jade Melbourne, who I actually thought would be half a chance, but she, I wrote this the other day, she's sort of like the Josh Giddey. In terms of Josh Giddey didn't make the Tokyo Boomers team, but he was still around it, and you know he's part of the future. I think Jade Melbourne is probably, this is a World Cup in Australia. We've got to put our best foot forward. We maybe can't take a chance yet on that youngster, but she's definitely part of it going forward. She's sort of in that Josh Giddey.
Well, you look at that. Josh was there. I think Xavier Cooks went over there. There was a few of them that was like, all right, we see you. We got you, exactly. But not yet. So I get it. So, look, our first game, 22nd of September, is against France. Then we the next day on the 23rd play Serbia, and that's going to be obviously a tough gig. Mali. Second game is against Mali. Third game Serbia. Fourth game Canada. Fifth game Japan. They're all within a week. It's a tough thing.
It's
you know, home soil will help, but let's hope they can do us proud, which I'm sure they will.
I am sure too. There's no doubt they're getting through the quarterfinal round, and then it's a matter of who you pull from the other pool. I definitely think if you're weighing up Group A and Group B, Group B is the tougher group.
But, definitely, I agree. Also help.
Exactly.
You know, they get hopefully anything above three is what you want. Then you're going to cross over against someone that, you know, next thing you know, you're in the semifinals, you know.
Yes. Like,
so please God, it happens. Now, I want to bring up something. I want to bring up, if anyone hasn't or doesn't know about it or hasn't read it, get out there. Paddy Mills, written by our own Botanand.
It's Boddy, Botanand. Pronounce it correctly.
Hungarian, darling. Hungarian. Let me just say, I'm a very big Kindle reader, and Botty knows this. So I read at night, and I love all the autobiographies. That's all I pretty much read. And I've read anything that you can think of. The greatest book I ever read was Andre Agassi's Open.
How good was that?
Oh, that's the greatest. Do you know that is the only book I've ever read twice?
Well, you know, when it opens up with him saying how much he hates tennis. I mean, if that doesn't grab your attention straight away, there's something wrong with that first
chapter where at the end he's holding Baghdadis or whatever his hand. So anyway, greatest thing I can think of. But let me just say, I am loving now, please, everyone. I love Boddy, but I couldn't give a shit if I didn't like his book, I'd tell you. But let me just say to you that I am loving this book. Now, I'm reading it, going back. It's a history of Paddy, and you can delve onto it. But for anyone listening, do yourself a favour, get out there. I knew Paddy was good. Oh, my God, this is another level. There's things in this book that I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. I forgot about this, the championships, the NBAs, what he did in the games that the San Antonio Spurs won the championship after losing 12 months earlier, and all the tributes to him and his heritage and everything. Mate, I'm getting goosebumps reading this thing. The only problem is I'm getting no sleep because I can't put it down, Boddy. It is absolutely brilliant read. I'm loving it.
Oh, I'm really thrilled to hear that because it's a labour of love. It's a tribute to Paddy. It's not a biography as such, although his entire story is told in the book. But I wanted to leave him the opportunity when his career is over to sort of do some big book deal and write his autobiography. So I didn't want to sort of cross over that. But what I tried to do was tie it into his twin journey with the Boomers in reaching that medal achievement. And so it's a story that winds around both. You get the Boomer's history, you get Paddy's history. And Paddy's history, as you say, even as I was researching and looking back through stuff and dealing with his parents, and but mostly with Danny Morsu, his uncle, and a lot of others.
I just love everything you ever read about Danny. It's Uncle Danny. I just love it, you know. Yeah. It's so cool. Danny Morsu. You know what I mean? Like, wow, it's not Uncle Danny to art, but we've had Uncle Danny on our show
on the program
as well.
Do you remember back when we had Danny on the program?
Yeah,
and he had, and we didn't realize the bit of gold. There was many golden moments with Danny, but that moment when he said that he switched from rugby as a kid to basketball because he attended a basketball clinic that was conducted by Michael Armat.
Yeah.
And Michael Armat was the first Indigenous.
Unbelievable. Well, I'm
in 64 at Tokyo.
Everyone, you know, end up do yourself Tokyo. A favour. Go out and get it. It is just a fabulous read. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And, you know, like, I've read the Andrew Gaze book. I've read Michael Jordan, Steph Curry's. You know, like I said, Open, Helena Dockett. You know, I've read so many. This is just up. This is right there, Boddy. It is right there because I know I can't put it down. That's how I know. Just everything that's going on, and you know, like that. What was it? I think they won 4-1 in the San Antonio series. So that game 5 where he was just big time.
Yeah,
you know, and it's quarter, just like quarter, you know, yeah. unbelievable. Anyway, thoroughly enjoyed it, mate. Good, let's good. Talk a little bit of NBL. I do want to just ask you. It's been an interesting off season. What's your thoughts so far?
The biggest signing, and I think there was some debate on social media. I don't know why, but people want to debate these things. Who's the biggest signing that we've had
from
the
NBA?
Aaron Baines or Andrew Bogut? That was the debate. Like when Bogut signed with Sydney, was that bigger than Aaron Baines signing?
I'd have to say it was. Yeah, I think it was.
But two words pop into my mind.
Sydney Kings.
No. The two words are simply, who cares? Who cares? We've got Aaron Baines. Yeah. You know, he's a championship winner in the NBA. He's a bronze medalist at the Olympics. He's gone through an enormously difficult.
He had to learn to walk again.
Yes. He's gone through you haven't reached that part yet, obviously, in the book, the Paddy.
No, I'm not there. Mate, it's only been out for a week. Give me a chance.
It's last Thursday, less than a week. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's the biggest signing, and that was at a moment where I think if you're looking at the clubs and what they were doing respectively, and you looked at Brisbane, you thought, oh, geez, they're going to be down near the bottom there. That's just going to be Nathan Sobey and a bunch of cast-offs sort of thing. You know, Now they sign Aaron Baines, your opinion of Brisbane changes 100%, immediately.
Totally. I don't know if it's enough to me. If Sobey has that year from 2 years ago, they're going to be the tough. They're going to be the ones, right? Yeah. They could, because Baines will just be Baines, right? So, and, you know, look, Jason Cadiz having a stellar off-season with Gold Coast as well in the NBL one. Their imports is the key, though. Always is.
Well, one of them is a mate of Aaron's that played with him.
Yes, I saw that.
Sons. So, yeah, I think now, like, as soon as you get that big name, everybody's perception of your club changes, including the people that you're potentially trying to recruit.
Yeah, and I'm also interested, as you know, like as coming from a coaching perspective, now I want to see what James Duncan can do. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he did it tough last year. You know, when you lose, what, the guy was top three in the MVP the year before in Nathan Sobey. When you lose that, that's got to hurt any club. I don't care who you are, right? Yeah. So I think that was a tough initiation for him. He's got the cattle now, so it'll be good to see what he does. I think Adelaide's improved. You know, CJ's done some recruiting down there. You can see what's going on. How's the feeling there with the team? What do you get the feeling on the ground?
There's a definite buzz about the team that hasn't existed for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Not since, say, this Joey Wright's second or last year.
Right.
His last year was, you know, there was a mood then that things were going pear-shaped, and Connor Henry, you know, he just didn't like people who dribble. Then we moved on to CJ, who was sort of lumbered with the team that someone else recruited, and now so CJ gets an opportunity to show what he can do with the sort of people that he wants. Antonius Cleveland, Robert Franks, these are some big signings.
Well, what about the key? John Riley to the Perth Wildcats.
I love that.
So do I. He is absolutely a basketball love junkie. That. He is an absolute basketball junkie. So,
yeah, there'll be nobody in the gym more than him.
That is
the club that I'm looking at with great interest, because you just know, after missing the playoffs for the first time since 1987, they're going to bounce back. They're coming back hard, and they're going to be chasing that championship really seriously. So really looking forward to that.
The only thing I would say is I haven't seen anything big signings from them yet. You know, that's the only, you know, you look at Brisbane and, you know, Adelaide, you know, like, I don't know, it'll be interesting. But who has been decimated more and people that have left? Illawarra, Sydney or Melbourne?
That's a really hard one, because they have been real. Like Melbourne, you look at who's gone from the Melbourne team and you think, geez, they're going to have to do a lot of work to just be in contention.
Mate, what about in the last 2 years? Add the extra year to that as well. Yeah, like they've just lost Lando, everything. Unbelievable. So,
They're positioning themselves, Brad, though, as the club that will be your springboard into the NBA. So they're positioning themselves.
Which makes it hard as a coach, but good for the club.
Yes, and good for the league's reputation as well.
100%, yeah. So, I'm not sure about Xavier Rathen-Mays. That's an interesting one for me. Yeah, him and Shea Ely in the backcourt. That's right. I can only assume that Shea will probably start. I don't think they'd start Xavier over him, but I could be wrong. I have no idea. But, you know, Chris will have to do Chris things. But, you know, then you look at Illawarra. Well, everyone's walked out of that club. That thing's in disarray, mate. They're going to struggle.
AJ's retired. I'm glad we had him on.
Yeah, but they're going to struggle. They're going to really struggle. The Kings, I think they'll be all right. Xavier Cooks has been playing phenomenal in New Zealand. He'll be the lead. DJ's back. They've signed a couple of good imports from what I hear. But, you know, like until you see them getting going and everything, you just don't know.
Nobody signs bad imports, though, do they? No. Everybody signs the next best thing. And
Then
you put them on the floor and you go, oh, gee, this guy can't chew gum and fart at the same time.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But, okay, so I'm interested in the big signing, the big move. I'm sure you followed it with great interest. Cam Glidden to the New Zealand Breakers. That's going to change the world.
I was actually surprised with that. I was like, wow, like it is. Yeah, I'm surprised that he moved. Like, I just thought, would you just continually move him? You know, like I don't see where that's going to make a huge difference.
Do you think somebody at the Breakers said, hey, let's get that guy from the Phoenix who shows up every second or third game, shoots a bunch of threes and doesn't do much the rest of the time, and they got Cam thinking they were getting Ruben Tarangi?
Yeah, So I'm just not sure how to answer that. But the big loss is obviously Finn Delaney. That's massive. Although I didn't think he played well last year, but he
nonetheless he's a piece. Yeah, he's a piece that belongs there, and him not being there. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that we should probably get into that in some more detail later.
We want to say hello to everyone. We wanted to talk. We're going to be, you know, continuing on now because it's really going to ramp up with the Opals, and we'll be doing a lot of pods and each week about that. Obviously, talking about NBL as well. What is there? It's 8 weeks before the season starts. Yeah. It does start in October. We're back to the normal October February season. Some exciting times coming on with that. The WNBL as well. So there's a lot to talk about, Boddy. It's been great. Congratulations again on what is a fabulous book. And again, everyone, get out there. And of course, if you want to catch up with the best writer in the nation, botinagy.com.au, he's an absolute legend of our sports.
Jeez, Brett. Thank you. I've missed you. All right, take it easy. Talk next week.
You. And everyone, we'll see you soon. See you next time.
You know what, Brad? The best thing about Lauren's comeback is that she's able to now retire on her own terms at some point in the future, having achieved, having not been forced out by chronic injuries. So I'm just really happy for her that she gets that opportunity to make that decision to, I know now when to walk away.
You mean unlike some people that just get fired and not get off the contract?
Anybody we know.